Sermon title tonight is Wrestling for a Blessing. Wrestling for a Blessing, and I want to, before I begin, thank Pastor Nathan for the invitation to preach tonight. Wrestling for a Blessing. My grandfather was a historian and an educator, and when most people think of those two words, they think of a very boring personality, and usually that's rightly so. But my grandfather was much the opposite. He was a scholar on religious history in America and on the development of public policy in public schools concerning religious education. So his, actually a copy of his master's thesis sits on my bookshelf at home. I have not read all of it, but I have read parts of it. And one thing that I noticed in reading it is that he is not the historian who sits down and just lays out, okay, this happened on this date and this happened on this date. He tells a story. And because of his influence in my life, I learned to love stories, but not just any story, but a story that leaves you with questions. And sometimes there are more questions than you have answers for. For me, my favorite book of the Bible is Judges, and there are certainly plenty of questions in that book. But tonight, we're not going to look at Judges, but we're going to look at a story tonight with equally as many questions. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 32, beginning in verse 22. Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. The Bible says this: "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." Okay, all sorts of questions, right? So Jacob sends over all of his folk across the river, and he stays by himself. And who is this man, and why does he attack Jacob? And then how in the world does Jacob wrestle this man all night, 6 to 8 hours, to a draw? And then we find out it's God, and then we're finding out, why is God attacking Jacob? And then that makes you think all the more, how can Jacob wrestle God to a draw? It's not about the wrestling match. This passage is about the defining moment in your life. A defining moment when you're ever changed, when God breaks you from your self-dependence and from your self-sufficiency and puts you on the path toward greater blessing. See, your defining moment is going to come when you are distracted, when you are focused on other things. See, Jacob was thinking about, oh man, I am going home for the first time in 20 years. 20 years I haven't seen these people, and the last time I was there, my brother threatened to kill me. And this chapter before where we began reading, it tells us of Jacob's plans for how he was going to make his brother, soften his brother's heart so that he didn't get killed. Well, his first plan is, well, let's send over this half of my clan, and then this half is just going to stay over here. That way, if this one gets attacked, I can live. Great guy. And then he comes up with an even better plan. Let's just bribe him. I'm going to send over all the finest animals I have, loads of them. And each group that comes, you are to say, this is from my brother who is on his way to meet you. And this happens with group after group after group is Jacob's idea. He is thinking about all of those things. Your defining moment is going to come when you are distracted, and it's going to come out of nowhere. You are going to be wondering how you are going to climb the ladder at work, and your defining moment is going to come. You're going to be wondering, what am I going to be doing? What am I going to do with these kids I'm trying to raise? They have gone crazy. And then your defining moment's going to come. Those of you who are retired, you're thinking, okay, my grandkids maybe. Well, your defining moment may come as you are looking toward the future and saying, okay, this retirement check is pretty meager. And you're distracted by the outlook of the future of your finances. Your defining moment is going to come from somewhere when you least expect it. And then your defining moment is going to become this nagging problem. For Jacob, this nagging problem became this wrestling match. 6 to 8 hours wrestling with God. And all of a sudden, they're wrestling and they're wrestling. God is not overpowering him, so he just touches the socket and puts him out. And that's a nagging problem. If you have ever had a problem with your tendon, you know that any kind of injury to that is a nagging problem for the rest of your life, even if it heals well. Your defining moment is going to become a nagging problem. Now, let me clarify, I'm not saying that your defining moment is every time that something bad happens to you and God's putting you on a track to blessing. That's just hogwash. But what I am saying is that when your defining moment comes, it's going to become a nagging problem. You're focused on the kids, all the while you're going to realize, oh, this is God drawing me to himself. Let me focus my eyes on him, and then this thing will help straighten itself out. Because when our perception gets off, our whole lives fall apart. When our gaze is no longer fixed on God and his plans for our lives, our track for blessing has gone off the rails. Your defining moment will come out of nowhere, and it will become a nagging problem. And then not only is it this nagging problem, you leave with questions and concerns, really, because we see here that Jacob asks this man his identity. And he says, why do you ask me your name? And I'm sure in Jacob's mind he's thinking, you know, I gave you my name, why am I not getting yours? But here's the thing. God is not asking Jacob for information. It's not like God went and attacked this random guy and was like, what is your name? Jacob? Oh, sorry, I got the wrong guy. That is not the picture here. Names throughout your Bible mean something. And particularly in the Old Testament, you named your child what you hoped they would grow into. And in Jacob's case, that's unfortunate. Because Jacob, whenever he's asked his name, he's not just giving information. He's wrestling God, and God is wrestling him down to submission. My name is Jacob. I am a heel grabber. I have been grabbing heels since my birth in the birth canal as I pulled at my brother's heel. I am a shrewd person. I am a con artist. And if you know anything about Jacob's story, you know that that is the story of Jacob's life. He tricked his brother out of his blessing by tricking his father into giving him the blessing. And then that in turn caused his brother to say, I will kill you. And his mother's like, look, your brother's going to kill you. You need to get out. And here we are, 20 years later, Jacob still is at his practice of heel grabbing, of being a con artist. God is going to break you, and he's going to ask you for a confession of who you truly are. He is going to ask you, what is your name? And your name may not be Jacob, but your name may be thief. Your name may be liar. It may be unfaithful. Your name is fill in the blank with whatever it is that causes you to take your gaze off of God. That is your name. And God's asking you to submit to that and admit to that so that he can put you on the path to the blessing that he has laid out for you. God gives Jacob his blessing, and Jacob eventually realizes who it is he's been dealing with. And Jacob names this place Peniel, because I have seen God face to face, and yet I have lived. Because the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, if you were to see God face to face, you would die. We read that in Exodus. But yet, God spared Jacob's life, even though he had seen him face to face. Jacob realizes who he's dealing with. And when your defining moment comes, you are going to recognize who God is, and it will be an undeniable moment, an undeniable realization in your life. And then the sun rises above Jacob. And this is not just a nice picture of a sunlight. I think there's something a little bit more here. The sun rose over Jacob as he passed Peniel. Jacob now called Israel, the one whom God preserves, the one God keeps. It's as if a new light has shined on Israel. It's as if God's promise has says, you are now a new person because you have allowed me to break you from your self-dependence, from your self-sufficiency, from your anger, from your heel-grabbing, from your shrewdness, from your lying, from your thievery, from your unfaithfulness. A new light has shined on you. And folks, when you submit, a new light is going to shine on your life when you submit to God's plan for your life. But when Jacob, Israel, passed Peniel, he was walking with a limp because of his hip. And folks, that is a magnificent defeat. Because Jacob, now Israel, is walking with a limp, but even though he has a limp, he's walking straighter now than he did before his injury because he submitted to God's plan for his life, and God now has him on a track to blessing, and he, even with a limp, can walk straighter with God's guidance than he could on his own. And folks, your defining moment is a holy moment. It is a moment that will be etched into your memory as long as you live, as long as your mental facilities are still good. It is a moment that will be etched there forever. Your defining moment's going to come out of nowhere. It's going to take you by surprise. It will be a nagging problem. There is no question about it. But at the end of it all, you will recognize who God is, and a new light will shine on your life because you submit to God's will. When we allow God to break us of our self-dependency and our self-sufficiency, God can put us on a path to greater blessing, and we can walk straighter with a limp than we walk in perfect health. Don Sanukian is a retired professor of preaching, and he tells the story of in his younger days when he had begun pastoring out of seminary. He was pastoring in Arizona. It was a decent-sized church, and there was the growth spurt for the first couple of years whenever he was at this church. And eventually, the attendance plateaued, and then a gradual decline and decline and further decline. And Dr. Sanukian thought to himself, I want to, you know, go back to the seminary, teach people how to preach, how to pastor a church. Nobody wants to hire a preacher who kills a church. What's this going to do to my self-image? What's this going to do to my resume? Will anybody ever hire me again? Dr. Sanukian was certainly distracted by the numbers on the chart. And it became a nagging problem in his life. It became a problem that was ego. It became a problem that was, I have to fix it. I have to do this. Well, if we try this, then we can do this. It was his nagging problem. His life was consumed by trying to fix this decline in church attendance. And eventually, Dr. Sanukian realized that there was nothing that he could do about it. He had been wrestling with God. And God wrenched Dr. Sanukian's hip, figuratively speaking. God brought Dr. Sanukian to his knees. Don, is it going to be my way or is it going to be your way? Because the way you're doing things, you're really not going to get where you want to go and where you believe that I've called you to. And in fact, I have called you those places, but if you keep doing things the way that you do them, you're not going to make it there. So eventually Don says, okay, well, God, if the church does die, can I at least say that you called me here to pastor this dying church? Can I blame you for that? And God said, yes, you can blame me for that. And God, one more thing. If things don't go that way and things turn around, can I take the credit for it? And God says, as long as you give me the glory, you can take the credit for it, Don. That was a defining moment in his life, and Don went on to have a great career as a preacher and professor of preaching. His defining moment came out of nowhere, and it was a nagging problem until he surrendered to God's ways of handling things, to God's methods, to God's will for his life. And a new light shined on Don Sanukian's life as he struggled with God and came out on the other side on a path to blessing. See, ultimately, the question that this passage begs us to answer is not, are you in the middle of your defining moment right now? That's not the question, even though I want you to consider that. Here's the question. Who has a monopoly on your life? Because whoever has that monopoly is who you are going to depend on whenever your defining moment comes. If you're depending on yourself, if you have a monopoly on yourself, you're going to fail 10 out of 10 times when compared to God's plan for your life. If you are dependent on your job, you are going to fail 10 out of 10 times. If you are dependent on this church building, my friend, you are going to fail 10 out of 10 times when compared to what God's plan is for your life. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was being considered for a revival circuit. And there was a group of ministers who were planning this revival meeting in their particular town. And one of the younger gentlemen said, whenever Moody was suggested, he said, "Why Moody? Why D.L. Moody? Everybody talks about this guy, but why him? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And there was a hush over the room, because even to this day, most folk do not talk about D.L. Moody in that way. And then an older and wiser pastor in the group broke the silence. And he said, "Son, you've got it all wrong. We don't look to have D.L. Moody at this revival meeting because he has a monopoly on anything. We look to D.L. Moody because the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him." Does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life tonight? Because if the Holy Spirit is not the one who has the monopoly on your life, your defining moment is going to crash and burn. When your defining moment comes out of nowhere, what you're going to do is you're going to turn to whoever has a monopoly on you, to whatever has a monopoly on you. You're going to look to that for your security. When your defining moment comes and hits you out of nowhere, the first thing you want to be able to do is look to God and say, "What is it that your Holy Spirit desires me to do?" When your defining moment becomes a nagging problem, you want to be able to say, "Okay, God, I'm wrestling with this. I'm wrestling with you. I get it. What do you have for me? You've wrenched my hip. What do you desire for me?" Your defining moment will absolutely come out of nowhere. It will become a nagging problem, but a new light will shine on your life. You will walk straighter with a limp than you did before. When God breaks you from your pattern, from your habit of self-dependency, of self-sufficiency, of lying, of thievery, of unfaithfulness, of greed, of anger, that is when God can put you on a path to the blessing that he has for you, and on a path to his will for your life. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you call us to something greater than what we ourselves could offer. We ask that you would reign supreme in our lives. And I pray that the folks here tonight do not have a monopoly on themselves, that their jobs are not what have the monopoly. It's not their family. It's not even this church, but that it is you in the person of your Holy Spirit who has a monopoly on each and every one of us here tonight. And God, may we choose to surrender to your blessing that you have for us. We ask it in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen.